You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are now listening to TBL on SilverAndBlackPride.com.
This play used to be run with 100 rugs, and we got Darren Waller on the choice route, Hunter Renfrow on the shallow. But I want you guys to watch Tyrann Mathieu here, okay?
God, you see the ball is out here. He's breaking on the ball. I think if he got a little closer.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie, your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. You guys already know what to do. Subscribe. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you dislike it. We haven't got many dislikes lately. Appreciate that, guys. Probably because I get blocks of a lot of the trolls. But yeah, hit the like button if you like it. And then leave a comment if you don't like it. Leave a comment if you do. You know what I'm saying? You guys joining the stream, please, you know, be interactive. So you show what we're talking about. You know, and then you already know what to do. You know, follow us on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL, at BDWilliams18. You know, you guys see the promo code at the bottom, manscaped.com for 20% off, discount code TDL plus free shipping. And also, you know, you already know what to do. Get a shirt too from Bonfire, right? Because you go to Bonfire, get your TDL blackout. You know, we're going to be representing the Senior Bowl. So, we'll be representing that Tape Don't Lie there, and me and Matt Holder. So, you know, be on the lookout for that, guys. Even though it's not draft season yet for us, we still got one more game. We got one more game, guys, and you know, that's what we're doing today. We're previewing the play-in matchup versus the Chargers. Which, you know, if the Tyler Huntley and Trevor Lawrence have the game of their lives, it might not even be a play-in game, guys. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this goes. It's gonna be decided really early. Right, and
I'm a little confused here. Hold on, okay. Yeah. Raiders win and they're in.
Okay,
there's no questions.
100%.
Right. Okay. The Ravens, if they win and if the Raiders lose, then what? What are you saying?
I don't know. I don't know that scenario. That's a deep one. I don't think so. I think if the Ravens win, I don't know if that really means anything because the Raiders already beat the Ravens, right? But
Colts,
it's all about the Colts because if the Colts win, they're 10-7. So if the Raiders lose, they're out.
Yeah, so why are we worrying about the Pittsburgh game?
Because if Pittsburgh loses, right, and the Colts lose, the Raiders are in.
Oh, regardless. Yeah. Regardless. Okay. No, yeah, okay.
And the Colts haven't won in Jacksonville since 2015. And Jacksonville won one game last year. And guess who they beat?
I know. At home.
Gardner
Minshew. They haven't won. The Colts haven't won there since like 2014 or something.
Yeah. Something weird. Yeah.
It's really weird.
Oh, man, that'd be crazy.
It's because these guys from Indianapolis go at the end of the year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
South Jacksonville, you know? Maybe they're hanging out a little bit too much outside. You know, it's not a big party town, but
I think the Jags defense isn't terrible. They're just like they got an awful offense. So they're just on the field so much, but they're not terrible. You know, they shut down the Bills. You know what I mean? Like they're not like they're not slouches. So it would be interesting to see what happens. If the Colts lose that game, man, the Ravens beat the Steelers. I mean. Let me ask you this, BD, before we get into, you know, the scenarios of this game. If that happens, do you sit the starters? Do you sit everybody? Would you?
Because when you're going into the game, right, and you're like, your mentality is, okay, we got to play to get in. We got to beat this team in order to get in, and then that changes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, then what's the point? you know, like it's hard. It's tough to scale back that mentality. You're going into the weekend. You're going into that day thinking like this is it. And then all of a sudden that changes. You know, I think, I think you should get some of those guys out of there and get some, you know, especially if those guys are like borderline injury, get them out. Got to get them out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like resting Darren Waller, resting Josh Jacobs. I mean, I don't even know if you play Carr at that point. You know, do you even play Mariota? You play just play Peterman? You know, this is like, you don't want Mariota getting hurt either because you're going to need him in the playoffs for the red zone and the short yardage stuff that they're doing with him. So, I mean, do you even play him if that happens? You know, that'd be interesting. It'd be interesting if that
Correct me if I'm wrong, though.
But go ahead.
They have done a better job protecting Carr, though, like last
few years, right? Yeah. It's been okay. It's been okay. I mean, third and long is the same.
Yeah,
every time it's third and long, it's basically the same thing as it always been.
I mean, because that's what it came down to in the previous matchup was pass protection, right?
Yeah, they could. And then when they started protecting them, they went right up and down the field. Now, I mean, the last game, I mean, which you probably watch more than me, I wouldn't watch the defense again. The last game, what happened was the Raiders, they decided they wanted to do these deep post routes on their cover seven looks, right? Which would, because the, you know, safety comes down and from the inside slot, you get a one-on-one with Derwin James and Henry Ruggs or whatever. And that's what they were trying to exploit, but I mean, they didn't have time for it. So there's a couple times that they had a couple touchdowns that they missed. I mean, one was to Renfro that they missed. Yeah, Renfro. Like, why?
Yeah, I have these in the breakdown for sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are all there. I don't know if they're going to try to do that again, though. I mean, that was Gruden was a little stubborn with the deep ball early on. So... it worked later on, but it's just like, can you depend on that? Like, should you just stick to like the Omahas and keep it short and, you know, just move the football, you know? But it'll be interesting. But yeah,
you said the Omahas. Mm-hmm. Stick to the Omahas. Yeah,
stick to the Omahas. Little quick outs, you know what I'm saying? The quick outs, Zay Jones right there. Quick nine, you know, then run the ball, you know, then quick nine, run the ball, you know what I mean?
Got it.
Right? Because, I mean, they don't play a lot of press over there, right? So, I mean, that Omaha is open. They can get a quick five whenever they really want to.
Teams were eating with that, yeah.
Yeah, so if you can do that quick, those quick throws, I think, and run football, you know, which is the key to this game. They got to run the ball, right? Man, that would be – I mean, that's – I don't know if the deep passing thing is going to work today. I think they got to just kind of – Keep it ball control, and you know, play the Chargers at their own game, in my opinion. So,
see, now you know what I'm really interested in is watching your breakdown, because you know, for me, I already know how the game is going to go down in terms of like concepts that they're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Raiders play so much cover three that, and the point of them doing all that cover three is because when they go into a game like this, they know exactly what they're going to see, concept-wise. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and it's all the cover three beaters known to man will be thrown at them. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And it's going to come down to execution. And so, you know, there's going to be maybe some timely blitzes that Gus Bradley can call. But really, it's just going to be come down to if the defensive line can win the pass rush battle all game long. Like, that's what it's going to come down to for me. You know, so like concepts and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, sure. We're just going to find out, you know, if Max Crosby can take the game over for us. I feel like on defense is what we're going to hope for.
You know, it's interesting about this Chargers team is they're a totally different offense than, you know, when the Raiders played them originally. They're not the same offense at all. They have a different philosophy that they run on first down basically every single time. Like, it's not even like a – it's not even – it's – crazy. I mean, they literally run on first down like every single time. And, you know, teams are crowding the box against them a lot. They crowd the box. They play a lot of man. I mean, that's how they're getting shut down right now. I think they've been figured out a little bit. And the only teams that they're really going up and down the field on are, you know, teams that, you know, that have, you know, Mike Glennon playing and Drew Locke, you know, even the Chargers game, the passing game wasn't that great. They were just able to run the ball really well against the Chiefs. And, you know, they try to establish the run like every first down to help them get easier looks, right? Because you know they're a third down team, so they want to beat you on third down. It's like it's the Sean Payton, John Gruden West Coast offense, you know, dink and dunk sticks, you know, choice routes, you know, not a lot of deep concepts, you know, it's that's what it is. You know, I'm gonna go over like how teams are beating them.
So what you're saying is, obviously they're gonna run early downs also because they go for it so often on fourth down.
Yeah.
So it's like a free down for them, first down, because they're going all the way to four, right?
You know what's interesting about that too? They haven't gone for it once on fourth down since the Chiefs game.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Which is interesting. I don't know that might change. I mean, it's on the line, right?
So, it's on the line. Yeah, they're gonna.
Yeah, right. But I don't know if Staley's a little scared. We'll see, though. I don't know if he's been kind of, you know, maybe he had a thought process like, hey, I can't risk the season, you know, because I mean that did like ended up put that. I mean that those fourth down decisions ended up being a loss, which ended up putting them in this position. Because if they, you know, kick some of those field goals, right? They are not in this position, and they don't even have to worry about this, right? I mean, they already have 10 wins, but you know, they had that, you know, those decisions, and then they went out there with that on all the COVID stuff happened, and then they went out there and lost to the Texans, right? So you know, I don't know if that aggressiveness is going to keep up, because he might feel like that he might not need to anymore. Maybe it's just the Chiefs. I don't know. You know, and they haven't been doing very well. They haven't been doing very well in the fourth downs too, you know, since the beginning of the year. And they had that awesome stuff against the Chiefs. I mean, a couple of the second Broncos matchup, they went forward, fourth down, didn't make it. You know, a couple of the Vikings, they went forward, fourth down, didn't make it. They lost both those games. You know, so like
the funny thing about going for it on fourth down, like the idea from the analytics standpoint is, it's like just playing the odds, right? Like, what are the chances you're going to be able to get there in four tries, more than three tries, right? Obviously, there's more risk involved, but it's just like a numbers game, okay? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, your fourth down plays, they have to be like your best plays.
Yeah.
Like, they can't be just a play. You know, like, it's not like you're going into your menu, like, what's the first and 10 play? No. Like, fourth and three, like, this is your best play. Like, you have to have that.
Yeah, and their best plays are sticks and choice routes on fourth down. That's why they – which I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over this because, you know, there's a lot of things. It's like I said, this offense is kind of figured out a little bit. And I think that, you know, the Raiders are a totally different defense. Like, I was telling you, I'm watching them. Like, who's number 20 with the dreads? Yeah. I was trying to figure out who that was. I'm like, who the hell is number 20? I was like, oh, that's Damon Arnett. You know, like, there's just guys who aren't playing right now that were playing back then. You know, Corey Little's not playing anymore, which, I mean, he was playing. He's getting bullied back at the end of the game when they were running the ball down the throat. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen this year, this week. You know, Divine Diablo is going to play better. And I think Perriman's, you know, he's angry right now about something. So he's playing angry.
Diablo is like more or less the same thing as Corey Littleton. There's no difference. I'm telling you, there's no difference.
Well, I mean, let's say this. So Hankins played more than Filon did the first game, right? I think Filon, who had two sacks that game, when he did play, I think if he plays the majority of the snaps and they let Hankins just chill, which I think they should. And just let Filon go, I think that he might dominate 71 all day. So that's a matchup too. I don't know. I mean, it's gonna be an interesting game, man. It depends on what their plan is. I really liked what Gus Bradley's second half plan was, which I'm gonna go over a little bit. Because the first half was kind of vanilla, and but I think that, you know, they try to mix it up, play a little more man in the second half, and I think that's gotta be that. I mean, that's how you beat them. You have to man them up. You have to get in their face, their little flat routes, and you have to force Herbert to be accurate on the second level, which he can be, but sometimes he can't be. So I you know, you got to take that chance and can't let them be ball control. But I'm kind of I guess I can get into it right now, right? You know?
Yeah, just go ahead and get into it. I'm going to send us to commercial break, and then get back, you know, why don't you jump into it?
Let's do it. let's do it. Let's get into this offense, man. So, you know, we're going to cover a lot of things today. So, you know, I wrote an article earlier, kind of talk about slowing down the Chargers offense. I mean, it's kind of a feature of what I'm about to go over. So, I mean, if you read the article earlier, you know, you're kind of going to get a video of the article right now. Okay. So let's check that out. All right. We're good, right? All right. Yeah. So like I said, you're good. Okay. All right. So like I talked about the run game, right? I mean, they are a first down run team. They run the ball since week 9, 56% of the time on first down. Who does that remind you of, right? That reminds you of some good old John Gruden. And it's basically what this offense is, man. I mean, they're the 2019 Raiders that are better in the red zone. So it's basically how you have to look at it. So here we go. So outside zone, Austin Eckler, he's really good with the outside zone runs. You see the patience he has here, right? Open up. Good blocking for 71-72. Does a good job. Patience. Jump cut. Get six. All right. Then you see here, then they run a lot of different things. So, like, here's a counter run, right? Everybody down blocking inside, right? It's a block in the back, but, you know, they didn't call that, I guess. I guess it's not a block in the back. It's that close, but whatever. Nice move. Jump cut. That's what I'm saying. He's hard to take down the open field, too. Cuts inside. And he's got 11 touchdowns rushing the ball. He's got 7. You know, I know if you have him on fantasy, you already know about Austin Eckler. So, yeah, I mean, this the run game. I mean, like I said, this is first down too, guys. This is a first down run. It's pretty repetitive. And when Jackson comes in, they don't do zone. They power. So you already see we got a little power run. We got a pull here. We got the tight end. He's coming around too as well. Good job by Jackson. He reads it, cuts inside. It's a good game, right? And they ran the ball all over the Chiefs. Okay. Now, how you shut down these guys in a run game. Okay, so the Vikings, who are not very good against the run, right? What they did, they crowd the box on first down. You can see this. I mean, got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're in base. I mean, they're in 12 personnel, of course, right? So they're in base, but you want to crowd this box, right? Kind of create that so, you know, there's nowhere for him to go. And, of course, you know, you got Eric Kendricks, who's just elite. But, you know, Denzel Perriman, he can play the run like this too. Look at right there, get his hands in, make a tackle, right? And the Vikings play this really, really well, right? They played them really well all game, stopping the run. So here's another one right here, Justin Jackson. Another run right here, another just pure power run, Justin Jackson. Find that hole, like I said, every time he gets the ball, they're doing power runs. Sorry, guys, I got a little out of order here. Let's get past this one. All right, here we go. Get back here. All right, so here the Broncos do it. So, like, Broncos got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? And they're in 12 again. This is first down. And then here comes the late Chubb. So now they got 8, right? So you kind of got the bare front again with these two. Cloud up everything for the little mid zone here. Almost get a safety, right? And if you can stop the run game on first down, I mean, it kind of puts them in bad predicaments all the time, right? So here we go again, stopping the run game. This time you get a little inside zone here. And look at the box again. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, if you want to count the 8 with the motion here, right? And they're just shooting these gaps, ready for the run, blowing it up. Second down and 10, right? And it puts, well, that was third down, but it puts them behind the sticks, all right? So, you know, I do want to say Austin Eckler, when they win on the back end on the first down, he averages 5 yards a carry. When they lose, he averages 4 yards a carry on first down. So I'm telling you, this is one of the main things you got to do to stop them is stop them from running the ball on first down. Now, they're a quick passing team, all right? So, you know, this is going to look all familiar, guys. This is going to be all Raider stuff. You're going to be like, oh, my God, I've seen this all year, the last 2 years on Tape Don't Lie, because it's the same offense, basically. So, quick passing. We got every time you see Keenan Allen right here, it's probably a choice route. So, I hope the Raiders know that, right? And, you know, the Vikings played a lot of man. But, you know, sometimes you're just going to get beat. You're just going to get beat by Keenan Allen. But every time he is inside the slot, he's running a choice route. And it's every single time. And Herbert, he's looking that way. And he loves him some Keenan Allen, too. So he loves Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Boom, right there. Choice route, Keenan Allen. Now, I also love little sticks, right? Got the sticks. Boom. Hit the sticks. They love this play too. They love running some sticks. All right. Right to Mike Williams. Anything to keep the ball control offense, right? So the same. This is like watching the Saints. This is like watching John Gruden and the Raiders, right? Sticks, quick sticks right there. Get the ball out of his hand quick. Herbert's super accurate on the short level. So he's getting that ball out of his hands quickly. Then they like to get the ball to Austin Eckler, right? And every time Herbert puts his hand out like that, I'll show them the back end. But every time he puts his hand out like that, he's going to Austin Eckler right here. Every time. Unless Keenan Allen gets open, which I'll show you later on when we get to the deeper passing. But you see right here, every time, hand out, right to Eckler. All right, so a lot of the things they do are very predictable. I mean, it is what it is. You know, play action. They love the little chip block and then hitting the flat too, off play action. Boom, get a quick 8 or 9 yards right there, right? Second down, now you got third and short. And they love play action on second down. So they run on first down. Play action on second down. This is also another one that, you know, if the Raiders get messed up on this one, I'm going to be mad because they've been doing this since week two. This is week two, guys. They run this play still, right? Which is if Mike Williams is right here, he's probably going on a split zone bootleg every single time. It's like it's clockwork, right? So that stuff should not be working this time. So let's talk. I want to talk about something real quick before I get into this. Justin Herbert leads the league in batted passes. He's 6'6". Leads the league in batted passes. He has 15. So I'm going to show you why you need to be batting these passes. Okay, so here we go. Same play. Got the little chip, right? So he's going there. Get your hand up. Knock it down. Boom. Batted pass. You're not going anywhere with that, right? You see it from the back end. If the Raiders don't get home, they got to get their hands up on these short passes. They got to follow his eyes and get their hands up. Knock that ball down, right? Knock it down every single time. Then you got the quick sticks here, right? You got quick sticks. And then the Chiefs ended up sending a blitz here, right? We got the quick sticks, but Nick Bolton can't get there. So what does he do? Get his hand up. Boom, interception. And that's on fourth down, too, guys. That's a fourth down, intercepted, right? And here's Keenan Allen. He's inside, right? What did I tell you guys? He's inside. That means it's a choice route. So what should the defensive lineman do if they can't get home? They got to follow Herbert's eyes and get their hands up. Look, follow his eyes. Boom. Knock it down. It's 15 batted passes, guys. This is not like something that just does the this is a thing. You know, even Max Crosby got a couple last game, last time they played. So, I mean, this has to be a thing, right? Of course, you see the blitz. Boom, get your hand up. Follow the eyes. Right? And then we got the little deep passing game here, right? But, you know, we'll start off with this play here. Sorry, guys. I'm a little off with some of this stuff. But this is the last quick passing one right here. So, like I said, where's he at? There he is right there on the choice route. This is fourth down too, right? And you kind of just play it level, break on that ball, knock it down, So it's, you know, the short passing game, they're kind of like basically they're a little mundane. They are. I mean, they're kind of predictable, a little mundane, a little kind of slow, right? And you have to just kind of play on that predictability. You have to know what they're going to do, where they're at. Just like we're getting to the deep passing game now. Just like if he's inside, right? If Keenan Allen's inside also, it might be a sail route, okay? So if it's not a choice, it's a sail. Watch, so here we go. So you got sail route here, right? Boom, here's the sail. It's a great throw by Herbert right there too, right on the money. And Herbert loves this throw. He can hit. This is probably the best throw he throws intermediate, and he'll hit this throw all the time. like it's money, right? Hit it that way, right there, right on the sail route. Here we go. Now here's the same play action look I talked about earlier with the handout where he hits Keenan Allen. Watch this route by Allen at the top. Just watch this. Watch this route. Watch what he does to Breland. God damn. Right? So there it is. There's Keenan Allen right there. Not really a sail route, but that's an out route, right? It doesn't get too much different from this, guys. Right, here we go. Allen again on the sail. Boom. Hitting that sail, right? Boom. Once again. So they love that route. And I'm telling you, Herbert, he'll hit that on you, right? And then that's something that can attack the Raiders cover three too. Is these sail routes, and they are going to attempt to hit these sail routes, right? Especially if they're rushing three, right? And he can hit that route, guys, on the money, like effort without effort. So I mean that's something that the Raiders have to worry about at all times, all right? And you know they love this crosser too. They love this crosser with Keenan Allen too. So you see Keenan Allen's going to come across, right? And they love this play. And this is the play that they run. They're gonna run this play against cover three and try to get a one-on-one with Diablo or whoever, right? And I'll show you in a second how they already try to do that. So you see here, Herbert does a great job stepping up. This is a goddamn dime. It's a ridiculous throw. If you guys want to figure out why people are just so hyped up about Herbert's throws like this. So watch it one more time from the back end. And also, I want to talk about if you rush Herbert with four, which is where it gets dangerous, all right? Because this dude, I don't know where he came from, but he's like a freak against four rushers as a pocket passer, which that doesn't make any sense. So he's just watch him step up like this, and his throw is crazy throw. He has a passer rating of 99 with pressure with four rushers. So it's getting to him with four, you can do it. But man, will he burn you if you don't get to him? So here we go, play action again, right? And you see the crosser here again, and you got the one on one with Perryman. And I really feel like if Herbert got more touch on this throw, that he could probably could have got this, right? He got a little bit more touch on it, but you know he tried to line drive that, yeah, making it a tougher catch for Keenan Allen than it needed to be, right? Because that is one thing about Herbert. He's not putting a ton of touch on it. I mean, he's getting better on it than he was his rookie year. But yeah, I just feel like that ball just needs a little bit more touch. Just a little bit. But that's something they're gonna attack, guys. That's something they're gonna attack. But I will say about this play, he throws interceptions on this play a lot. So here we go. One more time. Keenan Allen hit the crossers. It's a crazy play by Eric Kendricks, by the way. Eric Kendricks, you know, robots, comes back, boom. Nuts, right? But Herbert likes to force this throw, guys, because this isn't the only one. We got another interception here coming. You guys ready? Here comes another interception here. Just watch this on the back end real quick. You just watch Eric Kendricks because he's nuts. He basically beat the Chargers himself. Intercepted. Ridiculous. What a play. When's he a free agent? Anyway, so yeah, Eric Kendricks, he's balled. But then, you know, you got Trayvon Diggs getting him, right? Play action. Here you go. Same crosser, right? Boom. Just intercepted. Right? It's like he's forcing it to this crosser every single time. So The Raiders have to take advantage of it if he misses, right? If he misses on the crosser, you have to get it. You have to take advantage of it, right? And yeah, those are some great catches, right? But it's time for the Raiders to catch the football, right? And this is big time game here. And watch it. Well, here it goes. One more time. Another crosser on this one. But this time it's a different player, right? But he's, like I said, he forces it, almost gets it picked again by Justin Simmons. So, I mean, that crosser, he just likes it. He just kind of forces it. And, you know, that's something that the Raiders got to play on too as well. All right, quick pressure with four. Like I said, he's just crazy with pressure with four. He just avoids it so well. It's wild, right? Go, Justin Herbert. And like I said, you know, getting him under pressure with some man-to-man is really the focus of this game, all right? So I know the Raiders don't play man. They can play a lot of cover three, but I really feel like they got to play man a little bit this game. They cannot just be tendencies and just say, hey, we're going to do what we got to do. I mean, this is for the playoffs, right? Because you see here with the man-to-man, what happens is Herbert can't hit his little sail route, right? Since he can't hit his sail route, he kind of just has to force check down, quick pressure, has to basically throws it away, right? So man-to-man really hurts this team's timing really, really bad, right? And then, you know, it causes Herbert problems with his processing a little bit. Once it's like a lot of tight man-to-man coverage, because everything's so based on timing. And then, of course, blitzing Herbert is really what you need to do, right? Because every team that's blitzed him 26% of the time and more, he struggled against. And that's something to look at. I know Gus Bradley isn't blitz either, but man, it's just there, right? Can you see here? He's blitzing, so now he's just forcing it deep, and he gets bailed out by a terrible flag. Well, that guy kind of did that. I don't know what that. I mean, that was a bad throw, but he got bailed out there, right? By that blitz. There's another one right here, right? And sometimes he just doesn't slide the protections correctly because he's a young quarterback, right? So here we go. We got another free release. Boom. Makes a bad throw. Almost picked off, right? Jared Cook's open. Here we go. And then, of course, you know, the Raiders, they got their own blitzes here too. So this one, you know, BD probably explained this one on the back end a little better. But, you know, just from a protection standpoint from a quarterback, right? You know, usually – right, this is how you get him confused, is because I'll take it back a little bit. Let me get this right. Get this part where Littleton points, which I missed. Right, Littleton pointed before this happened. Okay, so he points at Eckler. Right, which so Herbert doesn't slide the line. Okay, he doesn't slide the line to the right because he doesn't think Corey Littleton's coming. He thinks he's guarding Austin Eckler 1-on-1, and he thinks he has a shot right there. Right, but he's wrong. Right, so since he doesn't slide, it just gives Carl Nassib a free release right to him. Boom, blitz. He doesn't see it. Bow, boom. Has to get rid of the ball. Aaron throw. All right, which could have been picked if he actually threw that on time, right? And then, of course, here's another one the Raiders ran. Basically kind of ends up creating the kind of the same thing here. Boom, blitz. And you kind of can see, like, sometimes when Herbert gets blitzed, he drops his eyes. So watch. See his eyes are his eyes dropped. He's already feeling it. Eyes dropped. Right? And then he just tosses it. So yeah, I mean, they're not unbeatable. They're not unbeatable on offense. All right. You have to know what they're gonna do. Right, you have to kind of be ready for them, and like I said, I think the getting the hands up is kind of the key thing for me too. Is getting those hands up. Once you're not getting there, they got to get their hands up. Like it's like a must. If you are getting a push inside, like Solomon Thomas or you know Filon, those guys, you're getting some kind of push inside, and you're not getting there, and you see Herbert's eyes looking at some kind of something short, you got to get your hand up to knock the ball down. That's something that they can do. You know, besides the blitzing, which I don't know if they are going to do that. Gus Bradley might do that because, I mean, it worked the last time. So, you know, it's going to be super interesting what Bradley does. But, I mean, there's a blueprint to beat this team. It just depends if he wants to follow it or not. So, or if he's just going to come out and do what he wants to do. But, I mean, I don't know.
So, a couple things. You know, this team, like you said, it loves to kind of dink and dunk you, right? They mm-hmm. they love their short passing game. They love their quick passing game, right? At that point, it's just going to come down to which team is going to, like, for four quarters, like, just stand in there, right? And who's going to beat the other, you know, their matchup to the punch there, right? And mm-hmm. Keenan Allen, he's made a career out of this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just, like, the short stuff, you know the ball is coming to him. You know the route, right? He's either running correct me if I'm wrong, like a whip route or a return route, right? Or
yeah.
a crosser.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the third down. Like, he's the best juke, you know, yeah. Y-Hoss player ever or whatever yeah. it is, right? Like, you yeah. know, like that. Like, you know what's going to happen, and he just beats you to the punch every single time. Like, Keenan Allen has made a career out of that. And I think Austin Eckler is doing that. We've seen Mike Williams, step up and do that in flashes. Jared Cook's certainly capable, right? And so for the Raiders defense, it's like it doesn't matter who's out there. This is a nameless defense in the back seven. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who it is, okay? It's just about getting to your spot, playing fast, and hopefully out-hitting these guys, maybe, you know, knock a couple of these guys out of the game, being physical, right? And that's really the recipe, in my opinion. And you're showing the crossers, you're showing, okay, yeah, they might get him in man. They might catch him in a man look. That happens occasionally. They play cover one on third and longs, okay? Yeah. So they might catch him in a man look, all right? Hopefully whoever's in man with Keenan Allen can – you know, recognize it and run across the field and defend that, right? If that's Hobbs, we're going to find out. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like that's going to be a big matchup. You know what I'm saying? But we'll see. But mostly it's going to be cover three that they're going to be throwing these yeah. crossers against. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, it's going to be Divine Diablo's job just to carry the you know, that guy across the field. So mm-hmm. we'll see if Divine Diablo is able to step up to that too. And when you're talking about the protections, here's the thing. Gus Bradley blitzes so infrequently. And then even if you were looking at Corey Littleton's technique there, he wasn't giving it away. You know, I know that there was a point there and everything like that. A lot of times, especially you see like Jonathan Abram, like he's like, it's obvious that he's blitzing. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
Whereas Corey Littleton there, he wasn't giving it away necessarily that he was blitzing. He probably has he lines up there a lot to play to play his coverage looks or whatever, right? So it's a good disguise, and then it just hits him. It's going to catch him off guard. That's the beauty of blitzing infrequently, is it's tougher to set that protection. You know what I'm yeah. saying? It's tougher to get an idea of, oh, do I need to actually set the protection? Oh, do I need to run a hot route if I'm a receiver? Because it could be the quarterback recognizes it, and the receiver is like lulled to sleep because they never blitz. And so he doesn't run that side adjustment, or he doesn't get to his hot route or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
So the blitzes can be effective for Gus Bradley. We've seen him be effective in games. We've seen him be important parts of the games in the past. And it comes down to just like not blitzing a lot. And that's the reason why they are effective. You know, we'll see if he draws up something like the Trayvon Merrick blitz, because that was pretty dope. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, he's not showing like a bunch of different things, and I'm very confident. I know the game plan will remain the same as it has been the entire year, other than Baltimore game.
You're right. I know they're probably not going to change tendencies too much. You know, I just think the way that people beat these teams, you know, I think you just got to try it. And I know a lot of people saying the Raiders don't have the guys to play man-to-man, but I don't know if that's necessarily not true. I mean, I think Trufant can, you know, play a little man, and so can Casey Hayward. I know, you know, maybe not inside as much with Hobbs against Keenan Allen maybe, but, you know, it's not even about playing man-to-man to, you know, just kind of guard people up. I think it's more to get Herbert off that first read where he has to try to go somewhere else. Because he goes through things so quick, right? If you can get him to get off it, if he wants Keenan Allen on the post route, you can just keep him to get him off it, right? Quick, because he's a quick decision maker. So he's going to go boom, 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 right? He's going to look at, okay, that's covered up. Boom. you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. Because that happened a couple of times against the Broncos where, you know, they played man, right? And Keenan did end up winning late, but Herbert already came off it. So I think that's kind of how you want to look at it, too. You kind of want to get him because he's a smart guy. And with smart quarterbacks, you got to play to their smartness sometimes, their intelligence. So if you play to their intelligence, right, you can get them to make mistakes or check down too early. You can get them to do a lot of things that, you know, a smart quarterback does because he's always going to do the smart thing. I mean, that's what Herbert plays. That's why his interceptions are just misses most of the time. It wasn't a bad decision. It was more of a miss. So you have to play to that. You have to play to that type of outlook. So I know I went a little long, BD, but yeah, I know. That's the main thing. They got to stop these guys. If they can't stop them, it doesn't matter what the offense does. So
they got to stop them.
They got to stop these guys.
I think it's
most important.
We've seen this offense be really good, right? The Chargers offense be really good at points this year, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. But we've also seen them look kind of funky, you know? So I agree. There is going to be an element of having a young quarterback in there that hopefully the Raiders defense are going to be able to take advantage of. So we'll see. I think that the defense is really interesting as well because I kept on reading all year that this is like one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And all that, right? Wasn't like there was like stats and stuff like that, right?
Yeah,
I didn't watch the entire season, okay, but I did watch like the last three games, and there's some like alarming things. Like I didn't even add like because some of these plays, like when I was charted, like when I was watching these, I was like, I'm not gonna save this play. That's a freak play, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and then these freak plays kept on happening. You know what I'm saying? Like where it's just like. The Texans player misses like makes like four guys miss and scores a touchdown, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm like, oh, that's not scheme. That's just like a freak thing, you know? And then like it happens again. Like there was one play in the Texans game where they scored on him. Like it was a big play, explosive play. It got called back. And so they went back further and then they scored again on the very next play in the Texans game. So something's off. I mean, obviously they were hit with COVID and I'm like not recognizing a lot of these numbers that are in on this defense, you know, that definitely contributed to like some of this like stuff that I'm seeing, you know, but I definitely think that this defense is in flux. You know what I'm saying? Like there's something wrong. Something's not happening and they're not playing to the talent level. Cause really like on paper, this is probably one of the most talented defenses in football. I mean, when you have an impact player, like, Joey Bosa, an impact player like Derwin James, who can play on three different levels of your defense. Mm-hmm. You know, like you should have a great recipe of like things happening there, you know? And I just don't, I'm pretty surprised, honestly, that they haven't had a great season on defense. And then kind of going and seeing, I think I'm able to like figure out maybe one of the reasons why they're struggling a little bit on defense.
Yeah.
So I'll just jump into it. I love that. All right. All right, so first things first, this is a tight front team. And tight front is basically the new age 3-4 odd front, okay? This guy right here, he's inside of the tackle, right? We got a guy in a shade technique, and we have a head-up interior defensive lineman. So these three guys are the bigs. And then you're also going to have two edge players and a linebacker. In back of it, like you could call it like a five across or 51 front. Okay. Tight front is kind of what this front is called. And really the whole point of this front is to be able to get into your 3-4 looks while you're in nickel. And now you have one of these safeties come down and be that extra inside linebacker in a 3-4. Okay. So this is the tight front. This is a big part of what they do. Getting a safety to play inside linebacker against the run. Okay, you see Derwin James getting in the mix there. Probably not the most beautiful run fit you'll ever see. Okay, and that's part of it because they're DBs. Here's another one. Got an inside linebacker here, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And Derwin James is the other inside linebacker. He's going to come down here and force that run. Okay. Again, not super pretty. all right, even though he's probably their best option to do this, okay? So, again, here we go. Head up, shade, three technique. These are three bigs, two edges, one inside linebacker, and now we're going to have this safety come down and be the extra inside linebacker, okay? And the whole point of these schemes is you got to come down here and get a hat on this guy. Do not let this guy come in unblocked. You know, Zay Jones, Brian Edwards, whoever it is, got to get a hat on that guy. Don't let him just run straight to the ball carrier, right? Here's another guy, number 32. I think this is during the COVID game. I don't think that we're going to see this guy. You know, he's also getting in the box there. So they like to have a safety in the box as an inside linebacker, right? Derwin James. Now, and the point of this, okay, when you do this, is you're having a player here. If say this is a team that likes to go boo, which the Broncos do, when you have a DB here instead of a linebacker, you have a little bit more flexibility. Maybe this guy is a boot player, right? Maybe this guy sits back in here and the RPO window takes away like this backside slant off the RPO, right? You have some flexibility there as a DB guy who can do a little bit more in terms of his movement ability when you have a DB there. But keep in mind, you're also going to give up something in terms of the run blocking, okay? And if Derwin James is in the box, okay, yeah, he gets shoved around and he makes a tackle for a six-yard gain, we'll take that every time as Raiders fans, right? But here's the bottom line. When this guy is a DB in the box, someone's got to come off of him, okay, and put this guy in the ground, and big plays need to happen in the run game. The Raiders weren't able to do it last time. I think it was a combination of probably Josh Jacobs and the offensive line not being in great sync and the game getting away from them a little bit early there. But Raiders are going to have to be able to run the ball against that front. Now, this is a big two high team in coverage, okay? Two high safeties. Okay, we got one, two high safeties here. And this particular look, they're in cover six. And if you were tuned into TDL last year, cover six is basically like this is Paul Gunther and Mike Zimmer's package as well. They're two high safeties. Okay, so we're going to play like a cover two look over here on the top of the screen. And then on the bottom of the screen, we're going to play straight quarters to the backside, basically. And the point of a coverage like this, it's a little safer, more safer than a standard cover two. And you want to stay on top of everything and allow your underneath defenders to be aggressive and drive on the short stuff while the safety's hanging out over the top. That's the whole point of a coverage like this. Here we go. We're getting into another look here. We're going quarters over here. We're playing cover two over here. Okay. You should recognize this from last 3 years of Raiders defense. Okay. And right now we're going to get a little whip route here. I think this is Cortland Sutton. Okay. The corner is going to jump out because he's being aggressive and it kind of opens up a little window for a conversion on third down, right? Here's another one. Here's another example. Again, we're going to go cover six. Okay, and the underneath stuff is going to be open in this coverage. And, I mean, you kind of just see some of the it's kind of hilarious that that's even a play that you see in the NFL, honestly. Really, really bad. Okay, now they're also getting to cover two. They're going to show single high here, but then they're going to spin late into cover two. This is a pretty nasty look. This is a third and long look. The Chiefs also run this. This is part of their third down base package, okay? And when you have guys who are maybe not used to these coverages or you're trying to disguise a lot, you could see them kind of getting out of place. And in a crucial situation, it's third and like seven right now to allow like a little drag route and this guy to like run for an extra 6 yards after the catch is pretty unacceptable. That's not good defense, even though it's a great looking scheme, not good defense. Okay. Here's another one. They also play cover four. Okay. This is the same kind of cover four package that the Raiders run currently under Gus Bradley, where they're using the backside safety to to take number three vertical. A lot of teams actually play this scheme against the Chiefs. This is basically the Chiefs defense beater. I don't know. But anyways, we're going to get a cool little concept here the Chiefs haven't figured out, where we're really just putting one guy in conflict. Okay. He's going to, obviously he's going to back up here off of this, and he's, you know, going to give up that underneath route. Okay. Miss another missed tackle, falls down for a first down, another third long conversion out of too high, knowing the rules. And then here's one of my favorites. Here we go. Now they're going to play cover five. So they're just straight man across the board. Okay. And Raiders get into a mirrored, too high beater. I really like this one right here, where we're going to have guys either going in or out at the top of their breaks. Okay. And it really puts the safety now in a bind at the top of the screen. Okay. And now I don't know if this is necessarily a choice route from one of these guys here, but you see we got a great matchup on the outside against cover five, which is supposed to be, you know, that's tough coverage to throw against, right? So you see them in so many too high coverages, mistakes are bound to happen, right? And I think that really the Raiders were so close last time. You know, this is going to be deja vu. You know, Marcus, you watched all these. You did all these. This is a beautiful route concept, and we have a huge bust on the back end here. We got two guys taking this guy, this dig route right here. Yeah. Okay, and we're going to get like a little out route over here from Darren Waller. No one's on Darren Waller.
This I was so mad because Waller should have just turned around and put his hand up like right away. He should have saw it. That's what I was like. But it ends up being a sack fumble.
Yeah, ends up being a sack fumble. Like, that would have been a big, big, big-time play. Okay, so what happened? We're going to get a five-man rush. So it is a blitz. Okay, it is a blitz technically. We have a five-man pressure here. Okay, I think actually these guys are probably going to be twisting. Something's happening here. Okay, but really, you just got to look at Leatherwood. I think he's passive. Okay, he gets just way too easily detached. We see he missed. His inside hand is not landing. And so when he only has one hand, you got to swat it down. Okay, just passive hands. Obviously, Brandon Parker is going to be having to handle Joey Bosa, so probably not going to be that much better. Okay, but great concept. Just didn't get it blocked up. Now here's another one. We're gonna set. They're gonna go ahead and get a little. This is a blitz coverage technically in the NFL. This is a NFL blitz coverage. We're gonna trap over here, and we're just playing kind of straight man on the backside. Okay, and the safety has this back. Now, this is the one that you were talking about, where Hunter Renfrow is gonna get one on one with this safety over here. And if you're noticing this safety driving, okay, on the bottom of the screen here, this is a touchdown. Right here. If this is blocked up, this is absolutely a touchdown. There's no way this guy's going to be able to run all the way and beat Hunter Renfrow to the opposite side of the field. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, Carr wants to throw it flat over here just to make sure, right? It doesn't matter, right? Yeah. This is a big play for the defense. But they got caught. So what happened? Again, another pressure. Look, okay, so what's going to happen? We're going to get a contained rush from this three technique. Okay, we're going to get a blitz from this linebacker, but we're dropping this defensive end. So it's a four-man rush. It's a simulated pressure. Call him a creeper, call him Sims, call him replacement pressures, whatever you want to call him. Okay, obviously, I don't know if Josh Jacobs needs to see this, right, and it needs to come in there. Okay, I don't know if Derek Carr needs to get hot, all right. But either way, didn't execute on that play. Missed opportunity, right?
Yeah. Well, that's on Colt Miller, because Colt Miller should not be blocking the most outside guy, no matter what. But, I mean, that's also on Jacobs, too, because Jacobs is supposed to be picking up. That's his man.
Yeah, but, right. Yeah, anyways, and Jacobs definitely noticed that it happened, but he didn't react quick enough to it, okay? yeah. There you go. That's funny.
Go ahead. Keep going.
That's funny. Okay, so here's another one that I thought was interesting. Right here, we're going to get Yankee, okay? And I think that right now, okay, if you want to throw this guy's kind of coming here, and so the window to throw it is like kind of narrowing really at this point. But he wants to throw it and he wants to get it out hot. We saw them kind of blitz the, you know, Carr and the pressure get there. So he's throwing the ball hot. I think net if come this weekend, Carr is hanging in the pocket. Okay. And he's waiting for this to come all the way to the opposite side of the field and for this to come all the way to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's not throwing the ball right now, which he does here, which is the quickest Yankee ever we've ever seen. from the Raiders. Usually we're holding the ball. We saw how greedy he was last game. I think it's going to keep on happening. Here's another one. Okay, again, we got this crosser. Okay, and this is a good play. Obviously, Henry Ruggs is not going to be playing in this game. Okay, but we see the idea here. Henry Ruggs, he's identifying that the safety was in the middle of the field, so he converts this to the opposite side. My problem with this is that he drifts this route. He needs to come back down, right, for it,
yeah,
and kind of attack that and give it a better window. But he kind of drifts into the guy. Bad execution. I think someone like DeSean Jackson, he's definitely going to be all over that. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, the Raiders didn't run the ball really well last game either.
No.
Okay, but I think that this is a gut check time, you know. So if they can't run it, like, then obviously guys need to go on that offensive line if they can't do it this week, right? Mm-hmm. But it's going to come down to if you do want to run it, make them get into nickel so you can run it and so you can kind of punish those defensive backs who stick around in there, right? Uh-huh. And just kind of taking advantage of some of these rules that they have when they're in too high. I think that they have way too much. They have too big of a menu. Okay. I've never seen a team play this many two different types of high coverages. And when you're seeing all these blown coverages, when you're seeing bad tackling, I think it's like there's like a mental thing going on for this defense right now that it's just too much volume for them. Kind of similar to how we saw the Raiders defense operate last year when they had a big volume, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what I'm seeing from them. I'm seeing tons of looks. Like, you know, I showed you almost every single different type of coverage or too high look in the book, and they got a bunch of replacement pressures and simulated pressures and everything like that. Like, these guys must be swimming in the information, all the checks, all the things that they have to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, they're going to condense their game plan and they're going to get, you know, but they're still going to go into it with a lot more than, like, say, the Raiders defense would, you know. So there's no confusing the Raiders defense. It's just out executing them, right? Whereas maybe you can't out execute and beat Derwin James straight up or beat Joey Bosa straight up, but if you can out scheme this defense, because you kind of see that there are some holes here, right? I think that it's obviously a easier said than done. You got to block it up. You got to have that pass protection, but it's not like this is like the Derek Carr kryptonite or anything like that.
Yeah. You know, the Chargers game they had a lot of opportunities. You just brought me some bad flashbacks of some of those, especially the river one. I mean, the river one, that would have put it right back in the game. I think it was like 7-0 at that point. That would put it right back in the game.
Yeah.
Right. Well, back in the game.
I only watched half that game, because by the time, like, five possessions in, and the score is already 21-0. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was like the sack fumble, the short field position. You know, like, the game just got out of hand. I think that if they were in that game, they were going to be able to maybe like establish the run a little bit better, you know, and stick in that game. And you were talking about how both sides of the Raiders were looking better in the second half of that game, but it was just too late, really.
At that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just too late at that point. But they had a lot of missed opportunities in the first half, and I mean, I know you pointed that out, but it was just the pressure, the constant pressure, and of course, you know, the defensive holds that they just do too, which I, you know, like that one you show where Jacobs, you know, didn't mess up. I mean, John Simpson is getting held. Right. And, you know, they started calling against the Texans, but we'll see if they call that stuff this week. But they got to run the ball. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what other game plan they got. But if they think they're going to come out and pass, they're going to be in trouble. I know that. So
Maybe they might come out like they did against the Broncos and they pass early, right? And try to, you know, set up that way, right? I hope they don't get 2-13 personnel with Derek Carrier coming back. I hope they stick to a lot of 11 like you're talking about because they're able to run the ball at 11. And I think they need to stick to those things, right? And the running game is so much better now, right? I mean, they're good against the Colts, right? They had a good game. They had a good game running the football against the Colts. I mean, it's not always going to show in the numbers, but it was effective, and they were able to, you know, get some touchdowns, especially in the first half. They were able to move the ball, running the football, right? And then the Broncos, you really saw it. Really saw them run the ball really well against the Broncos. And then, you know, against the Browns, we saw some good runs too. So, I mean, they're able to run the football better than, you know, before, right? In that game, I mean, back then, they couldn't run the ball at all. I mean, they were laughable.
Yeah.
Okay, they're a joke at that point. I mean, the whole run game was basically a joke at that point with the Chargers game, right? And that was kind of the eye-opening part of it is when they went to the Chargers and they couldn't run the ball. And that's when I was like, oh, my God, these guys are awful running the ball. And then, you know, Greg Olsen, you know, I don't know what Tom Cable put it to it, but they changed it up a little bit. And they've been pretty decent running the football. And, you know, if Josh Jacobs has a big game, man, and they're able to run the ball, they can definitely win this game. And that's going to be the key to me. You know, you don't want Carr trying to, you know, do this 5-7 step drops that much. You want to keep him to the 3-step drops. And by doing that, you got to be able to run the football and ball control, right? I think you have to ball control the ball control team, in my opinion. You got to get the Chargers into fast mode, which basically, you know, you want to get them out of their ball control mode because that's what they want to do. They want to have the ball for the whole game.
And the whole game.
They're going to meticulously go down the field, and they're great in the red zone. So that's what I was talking about, like, you know, how the 2019 Raiders with the great red zone, right? And that's basically what they are. They meticulously go down the field, but they have really good red zone concepts. Like, they run triple flood, which is an old school one. I didn't show, but, I mean, that's an old school play, and they run that to perfection. You know, Herbert hits, you know, he goes through the reads real quick. They run all the same plays the Raiders run, and, you know, the smash returns, you know, they just – they execute it better, to be honest. And, you know, they got, you know, so
look, you have, when you got Keenan Allen, okay, when you got Keenan Allen, everything looks a lot better. Okay. So,
yeah, you know, like, but like that's what I'm saying. Like, so you have to get them in speed up mode. That's really what you have to do. You have to get them where they're playing, where they have to play fast and score fast because that gets them out of their game. So,
yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, the complimentary aspect of it, holding the ball when they are on offense, I agree. This team doesn't want to, like, I don't think, come from behind, you know? No. So, yeah, I agree. Hopefully we can see them kind of get out ahead. Well, you know, there seems to be a bit of a turnover drought. I don't know if that's, like, the right word to use, but defense hasn't, you know, been having a whole bunch of ball production recently, so we'll see if that changes. Can't hope too much because it hasn't changed all year. So, I mean, we'll see if Gus Bradley comes out and all of a sudden has like all these new blitzes and has a new if he has a new coverage that we haven't seen yet. Okay, I'll do a flip. We're not gonna see that though.
You know, you're not gonna see it, man.
I would love it. I would love to see that, but. That's not what he's about, man. That's not what he's about. it's like the opposite. It's like Staley's like the opposite. You know, he's gonna have at least one coverage look that they haven't shown all year. That's like a designer look just for Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gonna have a couple simulated pressures that they haven't shown, and they have them ready just for this game. You know what I'm saying? That they're gonna throw at him. Like, the whole point of his defense is to confuse you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
right. Yeah,
like,
I know.
We're not trying to confuse you, okay? Just, can you do it? Can you throw that?
Basically, yeah. Like, but can you make that throw?
Right, yeah. Like, that's where the scheme tells you to throw, but can you do it, okay? You know, so.
Can you do it accurately? Right. How accurate are you?
Yeah.
And it's a tight window right there.
Unfortunately, I think last time Justin Herbert answered that call and was super accurate, you know? So it's really going to come down to hopefully the defensive line, like I said, I keep on preaching this. Max Crosby's gonna have to have take over this game. Darius Fallon, like you said, he needs to come up. Yannick Ngakoue needs to show up for just more than like the sack and then disappear kind of thing that he does. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He'll have like a quarter that's like looking good, and then that's it for Yannick Ngakoue. Like, okay, if that's all you got, then Malcolm Kuntz needs to be out there. But yeah, like this defensive line needs to get after Herbert. Like you're saying, he's a magician under pressure, kind of under duress. So the key is breaking that, and you know, and having that kind of pride and just that having that mentality for that defensive line to go in there and eat and kind of be game wreckers. I think they can do it. I think that we've seen them show up big in big games before. You know, everyone, right? Solomon Thomas is included in that. Quentin Jefferson is included. Carl Nassib, I don't know if he's activated off of COVID yet, but all these guys have stepped up for the Raiders in big moments. So it's going to have – that's really what's going to have to come down to because, again, once again, this is a vanilla scheme. We are not going to get some all of a sudden magic blitz call that changes the game here, guys. It's not going to happen. There's no magic bullet. Okay. There's no, you know, sorry. That's not what it is.
Man. Yeah. I will say, you're talking about like making them throw to tight windows. I mean, Herbert, I mean, to the intermediate level on Pro Football Focus, I mean, his completion percentage is 52%. He's throwing 5 interceptions. So, I mean, if you want him to throw to an area, it's 10 to 19 yards, to be honest. I mean, that's where you want him constantly throwing because, I mean, when he throws past 20, he's pretty good. I mean, he throws 1 to 10, he's pretty good. It's just that in-between area, sometimes he just doesn't get enough touch on the football sometimes to be more accurate, which, I mean, I'm sure by year 5 he'll have touch on it. But yeah. You know, right now, he's Mr. Fastball. So sometimes it's kind of funny, man, when he's like, when he throws like a fastball to Austin Eckler, and he's like 3 yards away. Like, it's like it's he drops it. I'm like, damn, Herbert, relax. Just toss it to him, bro. He's open, man. He just, and it's like he's not even trying because it's just like it's so effortless for him when he just throws it and just like he like lets it go like this and it's like, boom. So it's like, yeah. I can even imagine like seeing the ball come in his hand as a receiver because he's not like putting so much, he's not putting effort into it. So when he releases it and then it just comes at you 100 miles per hour with this non-effortless release, it's got to catch you off guard a little bit, I bet, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes he just like puts it on Eckler's helmet on some of his choice routes. And just, it's just like, take a little bit off it. It's okay. Like the play against the Broncos, bro. He had Austin Eckler like wide open. And all he had to do was just like, you know, just put a little nice little touch on it. And he just, and I don't even know, this is what I'm saying. I don't even know if he's trying to do it, but he threw that ball so hard. It must be tough to catch his passes for real because that dude has a cannon.
Right.
It's natural. So, but yeah.
So that's he's definitely split gloves.
If you know, because they're going to drop some passes because it happens every time. Because once he, you know, the Raiders, if that ball goes in the air, hopefully you know, the ball kind of lands and the Raiders get lucky and they kind of get some picks like Patrick Surtain got, you know, that pick 6 that he got.
Yeah.
Hey. So,
look, a pick is a pick, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? If it falls into your lap, it's a pick, okay? You don't get to take that away from it. So I'm cool with that. Even if it's a freak play, again, we'll take them here. All right, anything else that you wanted to go over? We're going over a little bit on time here.
You're good, man. I really got nothing else to say. I will say this.
This win here?
Huh? I mean, see, to me, I think there's more pressure on the Chargers than the Raiders, to be honest. I know there's a lot of pressure from Derek Carr because, you know, Derek Carr, he's never in the playoffs, right? But, you know, the Chargers are not supposed to be in this position, right? They're not supposed to be 9-7. They're, you know, early in the year, but the best team in the AFC West. Everybody expect, you know, going to the Chiefs game, you know, Justin Herbert's better than Patrick Mahomes. You know, this is kind of an area where, you know, the football media is expecting them to win this game, right? And I feel like there's a lot of pressure on them that, you know, if they don't win this game, like they're, you know, they're all disappointment, the fourth downs are to come back up and all that stuff. So, you know, I think there's a little bit
more pressure. I mean, the Raiders are not supposed to be here. Everybody's just excited. I mean, you listen to media, everybody's just excited they won the last three to even get to this position. You know, Derek Carr, he's the leader, he's in leadership. Da, 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 da. And people are just like, oh my God, how did they get here? Right. And then the Chargers are a little different. I mean, if the Chargers lose this game, it's going to be like a, I think, a little bit of a ripple effect. If the Raiders lose this game, it's going to be like, okay. Yeah. Well, great run at the end. You know? So I think that dynamic might play into it too a little bit. I mean, if the Chargers come out a little more tense because of that, because that's how I kind of feel. I feel like the Raiders might come out a little bit more loose because, you know, they really have nothing to lose. I mean, they've probably already proved themselves a little bit. I mean, they want to get in the playoffs, right, and 100%. But, you know, the Chargers, they are like more on a free fall than the Raiders are right now. You know, they lost 2 out of 3. They're in a great position to even take the AFC West, you know, a couple weeks ago. So they are, it's super important for them to finish. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how these teams come out and the pressure of the situation. But guys, hey, you got Chargers and Raiders fans in here. If the Colts lose and the Steelers lose, hey, we're both in, guys. So
who are you talking to?
The Chargers fans. The Chargers fans in here.
There's no such thing. I'm so happy I got that one in. Okay. No such thing. Never met a Chargers fan. This is a Russian bot. If anyone is in the comments, it's a Chinese bot. Move along, Chinese bot. No such thing as a Chargers fan.
Or they're 14. It could be 14. You know, Justin Herbert, man. You know.
Okay. You're right. They got the kid. Kids.
I mean, that's on Twitter. I mean, some of the stuff they say on Twitter, there's no way that's a grown man. So
yeah, so you're not a Chargers fan. You might have a Chargers jersey, but you live with what, Raiders fans, Rams fans? Okay, come on, kids. All right, your dad's not a Chargers fan, so you're not a Chargers fan. All right, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around. All right, that's it for us, Raider Nation. We're geeked for this game. You know, we're super excited over here. We're done prognosticating. Okay. I'm done crunching film. I'm just ready to be a fan on Sunday. Watch the Raiders get this W, right? I mean, that's all I'm going to say about it. Let's manifest that. But Raider Nation, appreciate everyone for tuning in. We hit an all time high in the live stream, views. So, hey, holla at everyone for hopping in. Appreciate some people donated in the chat. It's like a while back in the chat, so I can't find it. But yeah, I appreciate everyone. Make sure you hit up Manscaped. Enter promo code TDL for 20% off plus free shipping. It will also help the channel. Make sure you go to our Bonfire page and pick up some merch. We got shirts. We got hoodies. Got, you know, something for everyone for all sizes. So make sure you hit up Bonfire as well. Help support TDL. That's it. Raider Nation, we appreciate you. Holla at you.
Peace, guys.